is a familiar one, but it's one that I feel need of in my own life to think about again and refresh our commitment to do what's right. Thinking this morning about what we say. I guess the title would be the power of the tongue. Think about our words carry such meaning and have so much power in them and have such an influence to do for good or for evil. And we use our words so freely, we talk so freely, we don't always think about what we're saying. And probably sometimes we should think about it quite a bit more. Think just with me just a moment, a couple of different expressions, and what they meant. King Herod said this, "Go search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also." Good words. To Christ they said, "Hail, King of the Jews." They also said, "Crucify him, crucify him." How did those words sound to Christ? What expressions of the heart did they express? Was that another good one also? Luke 2:29-32, "Lord, now let thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel." Also, a number of the benedictions we share. "The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious upon thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace." A blessing. And using the tongue rightly, we're thinking about. We say lots of different things. But what do they mean? We talk about other people. "I can't stand him or her." Why do they wear those ridiculous clothes they have on? Or we forgot to invite them. Sorry about that. Sometimes it's genuine, sometimes it might not be. But our words have a lot of impact. The words mean are very important. All of us have a tongue, and what our tongue says reveals a lot about us, reveals what our heart is to ourselves, helps us to understand ourselves, and helps others to understand us also. Makes a big difference in how other people, in who we are to others. Helps to reveal the truly who we are. Let's turn first of all to Matthew 12:34-37. And I think I would say this would be the text of the message this morning. Then we're also going to look at James 3. But Matthew 12:34-37. "How can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." This really, we'll talk about various parts of that as we go through the message, but it really means how The tongue is a method, is a spring out of the heart. One description I came across was that the words are the stream that flows forth from the fountain of the heart. The heart is the fountain that's producing resources, producing a stream, and the stream that's coming out is the words. And if the fountain's pure, there's going to be good water coming out of there. But if the fountain's all muddy and mucky and soiled, are you going to take a drink? Is it going to be good water? We know that the water is going to be affected by that heart. Maybe it seems to be coming out fairly clear, but anytime that heart, that fountain gets stirred up a little bit, there's going to be foulness coming out of that fountain, out of that spring. All right, let's go to James 3 now. James chapter 3. And I'm going to read verses 5 through 13. And I guess I look at this as a little bit of a, to have pure speech, to have godly speech, to use our mouth aright, first of all, we have to have, be cleansed within. But James here indicates that even with that, we still need to keep a bridle, we still need to keep some control of our tongue, because the tongue is difficult to control. As long as we're on this earth, it's something that we will need to keep, give direction to. James 3, verses 5 through 13. Even so, the tongue of a little man boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brother, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain. Both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Call for us to be a wise man, wise person, and our speech, starting on the inside, starting with the, it talks there about the fountain. Does the fountain send forth at the same time, place sweet water and bitter? The fountain of our heart needs to be purified, needs to be cleansed. But even so, the tongue is something that no man can tame. Even though all kinds of wild creatures have been tamed, the tongue seems more difficult than that. Beyond that, it has tremendous potential. It has tremendous potential for good or evil. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. It affects other people's lives. It affects us. But it can create tremendous hurt or tremendous blessing to others. To control the tongue requires the Holy Spirit, a pure heart, and a trained conscience. We need everything we can, everything at our disposal, to be able to use our tongue the way we should. With our tongue, we can say things that ultimately will end in our eternal destruction. if not repented of. The tongue is one of the members that we do things with, that our actions are produced, that can produce actions that will result in our damnation if we don't repent of them. Tongue has the potential to be our downfall. Bible says God is faithful, who will not suffer us to be tempted above what we are able, but will temptation also give us a way to escape. So he can give us the power, he will give us the power if we look to him, but we need to use that because it will take it. We need God's help to control our tongue. It's another aspect of the tongue being uncontrollable, in that not only is the tongue by nature uncontrollable itself, but when our words are spoken, we can't take them back. We cannot call them back. The things we say, we can apologize for, we can repent of, but many times the effects are not fully retractable. There's no way to fully take back our words. Well, we're going to look at some of the right uses of the tongue, and then some of the ways we need to control it. Part of training our tongue is learning to do the right things with it, and learning to and stopping it from doing the wrong. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of the mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." Starts out with the word "let." Let no communication means we have do have control of it. We need to take control of it. We need to control what comes out of our mouth. The tongue can be a powerful instrument to minister to others and to help others, and to do right. First thing we need to do with our tongue is to bless God. Psalm 51:14, "Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thy God, my salvation. My tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness." Our hearts well up and overflow with a verbal expression of praise to God is a proper use of our tongue, and one that we should do. Psalm 71:24, "My tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long, for they are confounded, for they are brought into shame, that seek my hurt. It seems like that verse might be speaking, he was talking all day long. I doubt if he was, he might be talking to himself, at least some of the time. He was telling himself of God's praises, God's goodness, and God's care and protection to him. Thinking about and expressing praise to God. If we're born again, one of the proper uses is to express our praise to God himself for his goodness and his righteousness. Speaking to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our heart to God. Worshiping by song, as one of the first references there talked about also, singing aloud of thy righteousness, is a proper use and a good thing to do with our tongue, with our speech. There's many different ways. Well, I just think about it, all the turmoil in the world around us and the politics and all those things. Do we spend as much time talking about God's goodness as we talk about many of those other troubles and trials? How wonderful is God in our life and in the world? How much is he in control? And how important is he? Second thing I've done personally related to that would be telling others about God and his righteousness. Psalm 119:172, "My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness." We will be talking to others about God and his goodness. But especially to our children. Deuteronomy 6:7, "Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." doesn't just happen automatically when you become parents, that you start thinking about God and His goodness and talking about it, and you want to, we need to do that in all stages of life. But our children need to hear that from us. They need to hear us talking about God and His goodness and what's right, what, how we need to please Him, how we need to live for Him. We need to verbalize that, and I'm not saying I always do, I know I don't always do that the way I should. It's one thing to believe that and have it in your own heart, and sometimes it seems like it's, we don't always put that into words the way we should. My tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long. Psalm 35:28. I don't think we can do too much of talking about God and His goodness. Third thing is to share wisdom and advice. I guess as we talk to others and as we listen to them and as we share what has helped us or what we see as encouragement for them, that's a proper use of the tongue. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom, his tongue talks about judgment, talks about not necessarily the doom and the but helps us to understand, we help each other to understand that what we do is going to have effects, and it's going to have consequences. It's going to have an effect on others, and it's going to have an effect on our eternal destination. We help each other to look at things properly, as we should. Look at them from an eternal perspective, not just from when we're in the middle of something, sometimes we have a hard time seeing beyond and seeing the bigger picture. But if, as we talk to others, we can help each other see that. Proverbs 10:31, the mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the flow of tongue shall be corrupt. The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom. Talk about what comes out of our heart. If we have wisdom in our heart, wisdom will be what comes out. And we all need friends with wisdom, friends with that can help us see things properly. Proverbs 15:2, the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools pulleth out foolishness. We need to share what we understand to be God's wisdom, but we need to be careful. There's lots of advice out there, but it's not all about wisdom. And there's lots and lots of fools pouring forth foolishness that we want to be careful about. Wisdom is a very precious thing in the world today. God's word applies in a practical way to our daily lives. In other words, we need to talk to others as we share wisdom with each other, as we talk to each other about God's word, about wisdom. It can help make it practical to each of us in our daily lives, which is what God's word is supposed to be, what wisdom is, as we apply it, and it makes a difference in our life. Our society today is in a trend toward each doing their own thing. You go your way, I'll go my way, you stay out of my life. You stay out of my life and I'll stay out of yours. That's not really God's plan. God's plan is for us to interact with each other and to share and to give encouragement and to give, and to challenge each other when appropriate. That's God's plan. And that's what we're supposed to be doing with our tongue. Maybe part of society's reaction to that is the improper use of the tongue. When people are too judgmental or express a critical spirit or prying, gossiping, slandering, Those kind of things might create that reaction and make people put up walls so that they don't interact with each other. So it's important that we use our time right so that we don't, so that we can be open with each other and so that we don't get walls between us. It's a challenge for us to have a heart and a burden for others and to share it in a meaningful, effective way. I think I've shared it here before, but my wife's grandfather was someone who, I'm not sure, I don't remember, he's been gone for a while now, I don't really remember him saying a lot, but he was the kind of person when the others would go out in the other room, he would start sharing and he would let you know that he's concerned about the way the grandchildren were growing, and he was concerned that we were doing what was right. And he just left you know that. And it was a meaningful thing, and it spoke to me, and something that I would like to have for those that come after. But it's just, yeah, it's not real easy to do. But if our heart is where it should be, and if we can share it, just, it doesn't have to be a lot of words, doesn't have to be a whole lot, but if we let others know that we're inspired when they do what's right, and we have a concern for those who aren't, that can make a big difference for others. Fourth thing I have is the value of a controlled tongue. A controlled tongue is valuable. It's the words you speak are worth something. Proverbs 10:20, the tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth. The tongue of the just is of choice, as choice silver. And looking at it a bit, that may have been referring to money. I mean, as they would, in other words, it was maybe, in a sense, in that day, it was more than just a precious commodity. It was worthwhile, valuable. Tongue of the just is his choice silver. It's something that we want, something that we seek after. Proverbs 12:18, "Narrow speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health." If we don't use wise words, a sword is for destruction. It's for destroying life. Whereas the tongue of the wise is health. It helps to bring back people back to health. It helps to restore people. Helps to helps us to grow and become what we should be. Proverbs 15:4, "The wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit." A tongue is a tree of life. Is your tongue like that? Is my tongue like that? Is it a tree of life to others? Is it saying the right thing? Is it helping others? Or is it cutting them down? Is it that sword that comes after other people? Proverbs 16:24, "Pleasant words are as honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. Heaviness is in the heart of a man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad." Proverbs 12:25. In the New Testament, Titus 3:2, "To speak evil of no man, but to be no bronze, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men." To speak evil of no man. All of us have good points, and we have some that aren't so good. And you can pick out the negative things about other people, and if you talk about them and dwell on them, you can drive people apart, you can destroy others, you can cause a lot of hurt. But if you look at the good in others, which all men have, if you look on that, fasten and focus on that. Speak evil of no man. Speak good of others. See their the value in others and talk about that. You can help others and can bring out the best. Help others by cheering them up, encouraging them on. How many times has someone said a word to you that made your day? You don't say much, but if they just give a little plug, the right way, the right word, it can mean a tremendous amount. It can mean a tremendous amount to others. May we be the kind of people that say those words that can encourage others. Persuade others to do right, even using reproof or rebuke. We don't always, part of wisdom is not always to just be kind or to see the best and to gloss over the wrong, but sometimes we need to address the wrong. Proverbs 22:15, but always with forbearance, and as we would have others do to us, realizing that if we do it in meekness. Proverbs 25:15, by long forbearing is a prince persuaded, and a soft tongue breaketh the band. Proverbs 28:23, he that rebuketh a man afterwards shall find more favor than he that flattereth with his tongue. Sometimes people don't want to hear what we have to say. But if we're saying what's right, you know how our evil nature can stand up against that and react to that. But sometimes, if we, and it takes the wisdom of God to know if we repeat what's right, or if we live around with them, they know where we're at, that can persuade people. By forbearing is a prince persuaded. And there are many that have reacted to truth, that afterwards they finally yielded and have come to appreciate and be thankful for that. It shall be a kindness, and let him reprove me. It shall be excellent oil, which shall not break my head. For yet my prayer also shall be in their calamities. In Proverbs 9, reprove my scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. We use our tongue to help others, to tell others what's right. Reproof is something that's spoken. Probably the biggest challenge there is to accept reproof. And it says there very clearly, if you reprove a scorner, he will hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. And do we love when people challenge us to do what's right, challenge us to review our life, challenge us to review our actions, whatever it is, when they give us advice, do we appreciate that, thank them for it, and consider it? Sixth thing I've done is to speak plainly. Warning and rebuke may someday be viewed with favor. Okay, and that comes from 2 Corinthians 3:12. Seeing that we have much hope, we use great plainness of speech. Need to share honestly and frankly with sensitivity to God's Spirit. It's not always what God used. Parables and other ways of speaking to people, I think we need to be sensitive to His Spirit. Sometimes He has us speak plainly and frankly. Sometimes He has us speak more indirectly. But God's Spirit gives direction on that. Last point in relation to the good things of speech is there's the right place and time to speak, and there's the right place and time to be quiet. Isaiah 50 verse 4, Lord God, give me a tongue of the Lord, and I shall know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning, he wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, and you know how you ought to answer every man. And I think also the versus where there's a time to speak and there's a time to be quiet. There's a time for us to speak and there's a time for us to keep our mouth shut and just listen or not answer. Jesus, when he was before those false accusers, he answered not a word. He responded and gave them the information they needed, but he didn't open his word and his mouth and give a lot of extra explanation that wouldn't have helped. And then God gives us wisdom. God's Spirit directs us, I believe, in relation to those things. But probably our tendency is to speak and try to justify ourselves too much. All right, several places to guard our speech. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. Proverbs 13:3. We have to guard our mouth or it will be our downfall. Titus 2:8 speaks of sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. It's just awful easy to say things that we're ashamed of or that can come back to haunt us later. If you can have sound speech that people can't find a fault with, that's a valuable thing. We have no evil thing to say of you because of what you've said. Proverbs 21:23, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Even if we've given our heart to God, we need to be careful. Keep careful watch over our mouth. It still needs direction. All right, first thing is speak no evil. Job was speaking in the midst of his trials and said, my lips shall not speak wickedness, nor my tongue utter deceit. And I think what he was referring to there was especially reference to God. Evil and wickedness are things that are against God. Job, if he would open his mouth and rebuke God or curse God, as he says there, he was not going to do that. He was not going to use his mouth to cast reflection against God. He wasn't going to open his mouth and say that God didn't know what he was doing. He wasn't going to say that it wasn't worth living life for God. Job was in dire straits, and it appeared to him like God was the one bringing that upon him. And his wife opened her mouth and rebuked God. But he was going to be careful. He was going to guard his lips that he wouldn't do that. Psalm 50:19, thou givest thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue frameth deceit. We can try what our mouth is given to. Our mouth can be given to speaking evil of others, speaking evil of God, or doing the right thing. We control that. We have say in what it does. Proverbs 17:20, he that hath a forward heart findeth no good, and he that hath a perverse tongue falleth into mischief. Notice that he that hath a forward heart findeth no good, and then he hath a perverse tongue that falleth into mischief. Starts in his heart, and it comes out. He doesn't find any good, and he finds mischief. He says, and it leads to no good. 1 Peter 2:1 says, wherefore lay aside all malice, all guile, all hypocrisies, all envies, and all evil speakings. Again, it's action that we take. We need to decide. We need to lay that aside. Lay aside the malice in our hearts, the guile, the hypocrisies, the inconsistencies in our life. We need to choose to get them out, and we need to choose to lay off of evil speaking. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue. Hold back his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Be careful what you say. Second thing is we need to be careful not to deceive, no deceit. As an arrow shot out, it speaketh deceit. One speaketh peaceably to his neighbor with his mouth, but in his heart he layeth his weight. Talking kindly, talking favorably to someone, but not having that intention in your heart. Deceit is saying one thing and meaning another. Saying, I love you, and then talking over you to someone else. Telling someone this is a great deal. But you know in your heart it's not. You're trying to deceive them. We need to be careful with our tongue that we do not deceive. Tongue divideth mischiefs like a sharp razor, working deceitfully. Thou lovest all devouring words. O thou deceitful tongue. The tongue can be bent on deceit. It can be inclined. It can be go after deceiving people. It can be trained to do that, and it can make good work out of deceiving other people. James 1:6 says, "If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain." Sounds like he's talking to himself. He's not guarding his own talk to himself, and he ends up deceiving his own heart. He bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart. We can deceive our own heart by what we say to ourselves. Oh, that's awful. We don't want to deceive other people, but if you go and deceive yourself, we don't want to do that. Third thing is knowing kindness. My soul is among lions, and I'm not even among men, which set on fire, even the sons of men, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Psalm 64:3, who wet their tongues like a sword, and bend their bows to shoot their arrows, even bitter words. Gets pretty descriptive language to describe what those words look like as they fly out as a spear and as a sword to destroy others, to make damage. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Supposed to let that bitterness and that wrath and that anger out of there. Should not be a part of our speech. We should be careful about that. Next thing, no lying. For there is not a word in my tongue, but no word I know it altogether. God knows if our speech is true. God knows if our words are right. But many people today use words, and the truth is not important. The truth is not critical. Psalm 109:2, for the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful are opened against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. Psalm 122, deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. Psalmist asking the Lord to deliver his tongue from lying, deliver him from lying lips. Proverbs 6:17, a proud lip, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. Jeremiah 9:5, they will deceive everyone his neighbor and will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies and weary themselves to commit iniquity. We can teach our tongue to lie. You can probably see that in other people, but are we careful to teach our tongue to always tell the truth? And to be careful to tell the truth and to not deceive others. It takes a deliberate choice. It takes training to do that. Last thing I've done is idle words and foolish talking and jesting. I'd like you to turn to Proverbs 26, verses 18 and 19. Interesting verse. And I'm not sure if I always have the... I believe God made humor, and God made us to enjoy some of those kind of things, teasing and some of those kind of things. But I really do think we need to, we need to be careful about some of these verses and the questions that they raise for us. Proverbs 26, verses 18 and 19 says this: "As a madman who casteth firebrands, arrows, and death, so is the man that deceiveth his neighbor, and saith, am not I in sport? Aren't we having fun? It was just a joke. It's okay." I don't know. Understanding that, right? How would you understand that? As a madman who casteth firebrands, arrows, and death. That sounds like he's playing with fire. He's playing with death. He's playing with something pretty dangerous. When he goes and deceives his neighbor and says, it's just a joke. It's just, I don't know, think about that. I think somehow we need to be careful and guard how far we go with some of those things. Ephesians 5, verse 4, "Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks." We need to be careful, and God talks especially about foolish talking. I believe jesting, in this context, we would often understand to be impure talk. God hears what we say. God hears our language. 2 Timothy 2:16, "Shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness." Often what we say grows on us, and if we allow wrong things to start becoming part of our speech, they increase unto more ungodliness. It becomes more and more without us realizing it, without us realizing how much of a hold it has on us. And that's part of the danger, part of the uncontrollable part of the tongue. You have to be careful and guard it carefully, or it can lead you to places you didn't realize that you would be going. Matthew 12, 36 and 37, some of the verses we started with. "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." Every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Now, I don't know exactly what you picture as being an idle word when something is idling, when an engine is idling, it's running, but it's not doing any work, it's not doing anything useful. Is that... would you describe idle words as our mouth running and not doing anything, saying anything important? I think it has somewhat the same connotation. Why does God pick them out as things that we're going to have to give account of to Him? Pay attention to what you say. The words that we say, we're going to give account of in the day of judgment. I think it's wise for us to be careful not to say many words, not to say words that don't have significant meaning. Don't just expletives type of thing. Look it up in the dictionary. It says it's tending toward profanity. tending toward wrong words that we don't want to do. But there's many words that aren't necessarily profanity, but they tend toward that. Or they, how close do you want to get to that? You're going to have to give account of every word that you say, according to the scriptures. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. We know that God wants to change our heart, and he understands and knows our hearts. But finally, we're going to be judged by the things we've done, according to the scriptures. And one of those things that God's going to be looking at, one of the things that's going to be in that record book is our words. The words we've said. The words that we've said when we got excited, when we got angry. The words that we said when we were just joking around. The words that we said, the idle expletives we've used. We're going to give account of those things. James 1:19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, with the seriousness that goes with our words. It makes it important, makes it a wise thing to be careful, to be swift to hear, and slow to speak. Keep that guard before our mouth. Be careful what you say, because God hears. Let's pray.